Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, if I don't get onto the show tonight, it's because we're having huge tornado watches here. As a matter of fact, as I'm trying to get to my house, the sirens are going off all around, and huge bolts of lightning are as a matter of fact, you might have just heard that one. Oh, baby, huge bolts of lightning going off all over the place. So if I lose electricity, I won't be there, and you'll know why. Oh, baby, huge bolts of lightning going off all over the place. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Fatima, what are you doing here? And why are you removing your burqa?
Prophet Muhammad, I am the 72nd of your 72 virgins.
You are making me so jihad.
Well then, let's hurry up and do something with it.
Do what with it?
Make like a holiday and Ramadan my throat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it feels so good, Fatima. I am about to splooge jihadin all over the place. Where do you want me to do it?
Mecca.
Mecca?
Yes. Mecca. Mecca mess all over my face.
Hi, this is Ernie Borgnine, and you're listening to the best of Blogstein.
It's the Tonight Show with Dr. Blogstein.
Dr. Blustein. Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock, Dr. Blustein. Dr. Blustein. Freaking news and groovy guests, north to south and east to west. Push your boundaries to the test with Dr. Blustein. Well, 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 I'm glad you're here. Well, 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 my name is Dr. Blustein. Sit on down and here you'll find Dr. Blustein. If you've got things on your mind, call Dr. Blustein. Dr. Blustein. Don't annoy, he'll throw a fit. Verbal chaos and funny shit. Grab a chair, he's on the air. Dr. Blustein. Here on the radio, happy hour. Here on the radio, happy hour. Dr.
Blustein. Who's there?
Okay.
Caller?
Hey, this is Virgie. How y'all doing?
Virgie?
Great.
Is that your name?
Great.
We're doing great. How are you
doing?
Yes,
sir. Good.
How you
how
doing?
You?
Great.
Okay.
What's on your mind today?
Just called in.
Oh, you just called in to chat, to listen, to tell us how your life has changed since Obama became president?
Man, I've been a fan of yours before Obama was president, so come on now.
So
on
what
now.
You're saying is...
A long-time listener here.
So what you're saying is, Virgie, that you would sooner vote for me than for the black man.
Oh, my God. I'm getting sick of this already.
That's not even right to say. That's not appropriate.
Oh, it's inappropriate.
And I won't take it personally.
I cannot believe that you call yourself a fan of this program and consider that inappropriate.
Ooh, Dr. Blogstein, you're a
You never said anything bigot to me.
Oh, that's not bigot. That is not bigot at all. He's a black man. That is not bigoted at all. I'm just identifying him
problem?
As a black man.
What's the problem?
There is no problem. There is no problem at all. I thought everybody
Bergie, was. Bergie, what I think he was trying to do is he was trying to make a joke and say, you know, that, you know, because you're such a longtime listener of his, that you would probably vote for him if he ran against Senator Obama. And it was just trying to. He didn't have any racial. He wasn't trying to make any sort of a racial statement there. He was just trying to be funny. And sometimes,
of course not.
He's not. Sometimes he's not.
Oh come on, that was funny, Bergie.
You were saying,
Bergie, I do appreciate you calling and listening all this time. But if you're listening to the same show that I listen to, you would know that that was not racist. Virgie.
Okay. Are we waiting for something, or?
I'm waiting for Virgie.
No, I'm here. Virgie.
Oh, okay. All right. So, are we on the same page now?
Not exactly.
Let's talk this out because I don't. Let's talk this out, Virgie. Explain yourself, Virgie.
She just hung up.
Did she? Why?
So.
No, I didn't. I'm here.
Okay.
I thought I heard the
problem. All right, so tell me what's bothering you, because in order to have a conversation, we both need to speak.
Okay, it's not a lot bothering me, but what other people don't understand is people need help. They ain't helping nobody but themselves.
What are you referring to?
No, give me a brain surgery, and I'll be happy. I'm going to blow up any show on Blog Talk Radio until they give me the brain surgery I need. This
what brain surgery do you need?
It's a rare brain surgery.
Tell me about it. What is it? I'm a doctor. Virgie, what do you need? What kind of brain surgery? What kind of brain surgery do you need, Virgie?
I need a brain surgery that's so rare, that's only a few doctors in America study it.
Okay, what is it? What is the problem that you have in your brain that you need to be surgically repaired? See, I'm a doctor.
Mm-mm.
Is it to repair your slow reactions to questions?
Yeah, let you need a brain surgery. You'll be slow reacted too.
No, please.
Let it be your brain. I'm gonna stand up for me, but you can't sit up here and tell me about a slow brain. Let your brain need a surgery. Something's gonna happen to you too. Your ass may not be able to move your hands, your feet, your neck, or anything.
I don't want
don't
that
play
to happen.
Me like that. Don't play me like that. I've always been on this show. I've always been a big fan of y'all.
I know, Virgie. That's why I'm trying to help
they
you.
Got me on Valium. They got me on, much medication.
If you're on Valium, they need to increase that. I mean, look how excited you are.
No, they
Virgie,
don't.
Relax,
no,
Virgie,
they don't.
Talk to me. Tell me what kind of surgery you need so maybe I can do some research into it and see if I can help. Do you need money for surgery? And we can do a tribute show.
Virgie was saying that she was calling every show on Blog Talk Radio. Are you trying to get all the shows to start talking about you and try to have some sort
no,
of...
No, talking about the condition because hyperosmia is a rare condition. It's only like 4 surgeons that study hyperosmia. If y'all want to give me the surgery...
See.
Now we're getting somewhere. Hyporathmia. Vinny, look that up.
Hyperosmia.
Hyper.
Like you hyper?
Okay. Yeah. Hyperosmia.
Mosmia.
Bosmia.
Spell it for us, sweetie.
Piper Bosnia.
If you let me spell it, I'll spell it.
Okay, spell it.
H.
Mark, sorry about the delay. H-Y, okay.
P-E-R.
Piper, okay.
Got it.
Zero.
Zero?
Zero,
yeah, that's
okay.
What I said, zero.
H-P. H-Y-P-E-R, zero. Yeah. Zero.
H-Y-P-E-R.
Right.
O-S-M-I-A. And just look up increased smell sensitivity. That'll boil it down.
Okay.
And how many doctors know about it? And why don't they know about it?
I don't know. We're going to find out. All right, you got that? Hyperosmia, Vinny.
It's an increased ability to smell. For example, being able to identify the perfume of the previous occupant of a chair. It is seen in patients with cluster headaches, migraines, and adrenal cortical insufficiency.
That's what they say, but my head don't hurt until I start cleaning my house too much. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I can smell period. I can smell period on people when they sit on my couch.
So, in other words, yes, you are a hound dog.
Pardon me?
Essentially, you are a hound dog. In other words, you're like those dogs that you're like a search and rescue dog.
No, I ain't no dog.
Well, I mean, as a human being, you're a beautiful woman, but you have the sense of smell where you can go into areas of, like, say, a disaster area where there's been an earthquake and sniff out survivors. You can use this. You are like from Heroes. You're like you have super smell.
Is there? I'm wondering. So there is an operation to be done in a certain part of your brain that will decrease your sense of smell?
Well, Dr. Leopold told me that, and I've talked to a lot of doctors, and I don't degrade doctors because they're professionals at that. And I have been taking Valium, so y'all excuse me while I'm stuttering because I ain't no liar. One thing about me, I am a truthful person. But if they go into the back of my brain and scrape or something, my olfactory senses is not a guarantee, is what they're telling me. That it will be reversed. But try cleaning your house every day. Try what I'm going through, taking 20 baths a day. Washing my face all the time. I mean, man, I got wrinkles. I'm only 49 years old.
Wow. That's a very, it does sound very rare, and it's very interesting. And I'm sorry that you're going through that. There's nothing I can do for you, though. All right, Virgie. Virgie, do me a favor, would you? I mean, I like you, and this is a very interesting topic. Would you call back again? I'd like to hear about this further. Virgie?
No. Everybody's like, can call back and hit me back later. This is a serious condition. It can hit your children. Keep on smoking around them. Keep on doing what you do around them. This is where it comes from. It comes from cigarette smoke, secondary cigarette smoke. It comes from hysteria, and then it comes from head injury. But keep on doing that and let it happen to you.
Did you have a head injury?
Yeah, I had a head injury and some more stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. I hate smoke. I don't like smokers. I think it should be banned everywhere, especially walking down the street in front of me. I don't like people blowing smoke. They don't want to inhale it, but they want me to inhale it. I agree with you on that, and I would fully back your proposal to ban smoking everywhere. Virgie,
that's not my proposal. Did I ask everybody to ban smoking everywhere? I said it affected me. It can affect your children.
I don't have kids. Virgie,
I'm trying to stop this stuff.
I know, but the only reason I'm saying call back is because the show is over. All right? It's not because I don't care.
The show's going on right now.
I know, but please, we got to get Mark his plug. So, Virgie, thank you for sharing that with us. And we'll do our best to spread the word about, what is it, Vinny? My hyperosmia.
Hyperosmia.
Just look up increased smell sensitivity.
I've already been on four websites, and I've got the information.
Yeah, increased smell. So the one piece of advice I can give you, Virgie, is don't hang out with me after I have Chipotle for lunch.
After you have what?
Mexican food. Virgie, thank you. We'll talk again, okay?
And,
all right. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays. This is Dangerously, and you're listening to the best of Blog Scene 08 Part 2. We'll be back live next week to bring you a whole new year of Blog Talk Radio's number one most listened to comedy show. For all new episodes of the Radio Happy Hour, listen live on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And if you miss us live, catch us on the archive at www.drblogscene.com. That's drblogscene.com. Now back to the show.
Belinda, welcome you to my beautiful Caribbean island filled with man-starved women. Adults only, please. You'll want to come and visit again and again.
Oh, baby.
So you wore the little white boots with the fringe on it and the little short skirt?
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
I'm going in and out. I'm going in and out.
Oh, baby.
Kid. Hey! I'm sitting here with my hands in my lap, not touching anything.
Last week, our guest was Dennis Hoff from the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, and you heard Stuttering John make mention of him earlier in the show. He runs the brothel, Dennis Hoff, not John Melendez. While he was on the show, he endorsed Hillary Clinton as his candidate. Now, that question came from the chat room. It was read by Vinnie Bond. KB, do you know who asked that question in the chat room?
What was that? I was busy typing. I told you, I'm slow. I'm on cough syrup.
You're not slow. You're ignoring me.
And I had you on mute so you couldn't hear me typing.
All right. Anyway, that question came from the chat room. Who... Dennis Hoff was endorsing for president.
Oh, it was not me.
All right. The question was answered. It was Hillary Clinton. Now, the New York Post picked up on that, quoting Dennis Hoff for what he said on the Radio Happy Hour. And then later in the week, Chris Matthews, Hardball on MSNBC, also quoted Dennis Hoff for what he said about his endorsement of Hillary Clinton for the presidential nomination of the United States of America. And, of course, he sourced it to Dr. Blockstein's Radio Happy Hour. So our one interview with Dennis Hoff made the New York Post and MSNBC hardball.
Obama, Hillary, or McCain?
Got to be Hillary.
Oh, that's going to be a surprise to some people in the chat.
Well, but here's let me give you the reason why. And I know all these political guys. Tucker Carlson is a very good friend. What I'm seeing here is I love Obama. I think he's great. I just like to see him have some experience on being on some good subcommittees in the Senate for a period of time. I think he'll be an excellent president. Hillary knows the drill. She's been beat up by these Republicans so many times. They're not going to find any dirt on her, and they're not going to beat her up again. And it's amazing to me that there's one woman in America that would not vote for her, because whether you like Hillary or not, this is going to change the women's movement in America. It's going to advance women 20 years. And for a woman not to vote for Hillary, I look at a chick that doesn't like Hillary and say, what the hell are you thinking? You know, when she's in office, that women's causes are going to be on the top of her list, even if she wants to be objective. If something comes across her desk that's going to benefit women, she's going to vote for it.
Dennis Hoff, he's owner of, for those who don't know, owner of Nevada's Moonlight Bunny Ranch brothel. He declared his support for Hillary Clinton this week. Here he is telling us why. Quote, it's amazing to me that there is one woman in America who would not vote for her.
whether you like Hillary or not, this is going to change the women's movement in America. Well, let's get this straight. The runner of a house of prostitution is filling us all in on what's good for women in this country.
What up, listeners? Can everybody see? It's Dogger Blogstein's anniversary. 1 year of shows and a whole lot of guests. If I were Radio Jesus, the show would be blessed. Let's hope the next year will be more memorable than last. To all the haters out there, they can kiss his Jewish ass.
I love Michael Jackson.
Why was Michael Jackson recently admitted to the Betty Ford Clinic? It turns out he had a 12-year-old crack addiction.
No!
No, you gotta keep going. Go.
Play it. Play it.
Play it.
How does Michael Jackson pick his nose? From a catalog.
Right off. Go, go, go.
I'm trying to. This isn't the easiest dashboard to navigate.
I love Michael.
What's the hardest thing to move from a little boy's underwear?
Oh my God.
Michael Jackson makeup.
No.
All right. What did a lady say to Michael Jackson on the beach?
What?
Excuse me, you're in my son.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. I
love Michael Jackson, but I'm afraid I'm not his type.
Why did Michael Jackson phone the musical group Boys to Men?
Oh, Lord.
Why?
Because he thought it was a delivery service.
No. Okay, eat up.
Last one. Now, when do you know it's bedtime in Michael Jackson's house?
When?
When the big hand touches the little hand. Thank you, thank you. We love you, Michael. Thank you for all you've given us.
Yeah.
And that's realer than real deal, holy feel. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this and like that and like this and
Vander Holyfield, welcome to the Radio Happy Hour.
Thank you.
Sitting across from you, the one thing that is most striking are your teeth. You have great teeth. Are those your teeth?
Yes, they are.
Never been knocked out. Those are your teeth.
These are my teeth, and my teeth are good because God knew my mama didn't have no money to get no braces or anything, so he gave me a good set of teeth, and this is what it is.
I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. You take good care of it.
Thank you very much.
Now, I just want to let the audience know, you were going to call into the show, but you went to see Grease instead.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
How was the show?
The show was great. I went in there unexpectedly, didn't know how it was going to turn out, but it was wonderful.
Now, do you sit there watching the dancers, knowing that you were on Dancing with the Stars? Do you sit there critiquing them, thinking, I can do this better?
No, not at all, not at all. I realized that every person should stay in their lane. Now, boxing is my lane, dancing is their lane. And they did a great job. For us, you know, with my knowledge, they did a great job. But for me to critique somebody who been doing that probably as long as I've been boxing, no comment.
So are you saying that you would look as good on the stage doing Grease as Danny Zuko would look in the ring?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your book is Becoming Holyfield. You say becoming. Are you not there yet?
I haven't finished, so I'm not all that I will be.
So then why write the book now?
Because the people need it now. As I wait to the end, then when I talk about faith. If I wait to the end and do it, then anybody says, shoot, that wasn't no faith. You waited till you got to the end. the things that I'm telling them in this book, the last chapter, when I write my next book, because he finished, and it'll be a book you'll just have a picture of me smiling, finish. I did what I said I was going to do.
It hadn't been easy. No dad growing up. You met him when you were 21. You're poor. Someone shot your dog dead. Did that give you rage that you took with you in the ring?
Not at all, because, you know, the most important thing, just as in the book, it let you know that I did have a mother. And, you know, so my mother instilled in me that you have to forgive. So when you forgive, then you can set yourself free to breathe. I'm talking people who don't forgive, they always using a part of they mind by thinking about this. And that's their excuse. Oh, but this happened to me. And as you can see, none of my life I brought up. Reason why I didn't make it because I'm from the ghetto. I was black. I was this. There's no excuse when that's forgiveness. And so it allow you to go through life like you're supposed to and become the person that you're supposed to be.
Right. You had all those. I mean, those were built-in excuses. I mean, if you ended up in jail or on drugs, you have the excuses. But you don't take it. You don't
right.
take those
exactly.
excuses.
Exactly.
Now, being that it was such a tough road and where you are now and where you've been, if the good Lord comes down and says, Evander, he says, Evander, I got to turn back the clock 35 years. I'm giving you a choice. Do you relive your life or do you take a chance and live someone else's life?
Well, if my condition is the same, I do the same.
Yeah, your condition is the same. You start out and you end. You're right back where you are right now.
Well, you know, I would do the same, meaning that you know, if you give me that mother with that sixth grade education, giving the daddy that's work hard and that I wasn't gonna see the 21 and the same lifestyle, yes, I'd choose boxing.
Do you remember the first punch that you've ever thrown? In the ring, out of the ring?
Yes.
Who'd you hit?
Well, I hit this guy named Prima Racher. That's his name. And my coach said, that bell ring, go hit him right in the nose. And I hit him right in the nose.
So you never got into fights in school?
Well, I did. You know, but they were about, you know, 15-second fight. You know, when you're a kid, when you get in a fight, it's who the strongest. Yeah, and you fall on the guy, and they stop the fight, and they say you won.
Yeah.
Or you get one shot, you know, they say you won. So, you know, I had a lot of little fights and stuff like that. But those fight was with people who was my friends.
Right.
You know, you only fought with your friend or your brother.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, this is it. You never fought nobody that you didn't know.
Right. You're not done. You're going to fight again.
Yes, I am.
And you're not afraid of getting your mind scrambled. I mean, you make a lot of sense. You talk. You speak well. You got all your facilities, your capacities. It doesn't scare you.
No, not at all. Because, you know, love is don't have no fear. And the point of the matter is that you ask yourself, is a person being foolish or what? Meaning that if I was an electrician and even though I pass the test and I do all this, but it would be foolish for me to climb up on that pole if I was drunk, alcoholic and all this. The chance of me messing up is not because I don't know what I'm doing. It's that I don't take care of myself. So, you know, it's the same thing in sports, but particularly boxing. If I'm not working out and I'm not in shape and I don't do the thing that's necessary to allow me to fight good, then I am hurting myself. I'm about to get myself hurt. So as long as I'm able to continue to train and do the things that I need to do and practice, my chances are limited to getting hurt in a fight.
So you would never put yourself in the position to get hurt. What? You go in believing that you're ready and you can still do it.
I go in training, working out and doing the work to allow me to know that I can do it.
Taking a punch, it's got to hurt a lot. Can you... I've never hit anyone. I've never been hit. Is there a way you can describe pain? You can't describe pain in words, can you?
Well, no, because the fact is that I don't go into the fight expecting to get hit, but understand that I could get hit if I don't move my head. So anytime I be stubborn and not move my head, I get hit. So the whole thing is that if I want to get hit, I got to be able to see, turn, put my guards up and all this. But if I don't do it, it's my fault.
So does your quickness come from a fear of getting hit?
No, it's not about fear. It's just the fact of the matter. You to win, you duck. And so if you duck, you don't get hit with the shot. You don't have to go through it. But the intensity that you think that you may get hit allow you to handle it because you know that you're capable of getting hit. But the point of the matter is if things will hurt you more than it hurt me because you don't expect it to get hit. And so if somebody hits you, first thing your mind say, I didn't supposed to get hit. Why did you hit me? With me, my mind say, they trying to hit you. So what you moving, that's when you moving because they trying to hit you. So you have a whole different expectation to they supposed to. Everybody get upset when something happened that don't supposed to happen. If you don't supposed to bump into me, you bump into me, so it ticks me off, you know. But if I know we playing a bumping game, we both bumping each other, then we shouldn't get mad.
Right. So you're telling me now is not the right time for me to throw this pen at you.
Well, you know that's just saying. Yeah, you're right because it just ain't the right thing to do.
Right. Really quickly, you're the only person to ever be the four-time champion.
Heavyweight champion.
So does that mean that you're also the only person to have lost it that many times?
It's a lot of people never got the opportunity. They don't probably lost more defense, but I'm the only one that ever grasped four of them.
And will we see you with your fifth world champion, heavyweight champion?
Yes, you will.
Good. I'm rooting for that, Evander.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much.
Happy holidays. This is Justin the Weatherman, and you're listening to the best of Blogscene 08 Part 2. I guess you heard Part 1 and you thought it was funny, so now you're committing to another hour or two. And we'll be back live next week to bring you a whole new year of Blog Talk Radio's number one most listened to comedy show. Most listened to comedy show. That's what I said. You know, I'm not sure if I'm fired or not, so perhaps I will be part of this show in 2009, and for all new episodes, Echo Center episodes of the Radio Happy Hour, listen live on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And if you miss us live, catch us on the archive at www.drblogstein.com. That's www.drblogstein.com. Now, back to the show.
Francie Araiza.
How are you?
Hello.
Hello. What was that?
Yeah. I don't know. Is everything okay now?
Yeah. Was that you? Wrong button again?
Wow, there is some wacky stuff going on. All right, Francia, state your name so I can test this audio here.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, everyone is good. Is there someone with you that has a phone also? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm actually on my cell phone, but I'm by myself.
You are by yourself. What are you wearing? Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
welcome back to the Radio Happy Hour, Francia.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Well, wow. What is that?
What's wrong now?
It sounds like somebody is pushing down on a button for like 5 seconds.
Are you hearing that too, Francia?
Yeah, I heard that too, but it's not coming from me.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Me either. Is that Vinny?
Let's not place the blame. Francia, do you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you.
And I think we're all clear. Okay. You know what? This was a horrible start. I am so embarrassed. I have... My idol on the phone. You're my idol now. I'm a little starstruck now because
oh, you're so funny.
When we first met you,
you were Francia Ray, so we really didn't know who you were. We were just getting to know you. Now you're on a television show that I watch weekly, and I am sort of obsessed with.
Are you really?
Yeah, I really do like it.
I'm glad.
You've done a really good job. Are you getting good feedback on it?
Yes, great feedback, especially from my fans and just everyone. I mean, right now it's the number one show and on ABC Family, and as far as my character, I guess girls like that girl, too.
So you're getting good feedback from girls. They like, and for lack of a better word, though you play a vulnerable slut, you're still a slut.
I mean, I don't like to call her a slut. But
of course you don't like to call her a slut because it's you're playing her. But come on,
yeah.
Grant.
Yeah.
If I was another kid in Grant High School, right? That's the name of the school?
Yes, Grant High School.
If you like that dangerous, I even know the school. If I was another kid at Grant High School, I would say that Adrian girl, she's kind of loose. She's a slut.
Yeah, I guess, but I'm very defensive about my character, and I think that throughout the episodes, you will see why she acts the way she acts, and maybe you'll change your wording of her or your opinion of my character.
Okay, all right. I'll reserve a judgment till later. Now, I haven't seen tonight's episode. I'm DVRing it, so don't give anything away. But,
trust me, I don't.
Do you watch the show? Do you even know what they're up to now?
Oh, I'm obsessed. I watch the show at least 6 times.
You
I was watching it. I do. I'm obsessed with watching it. And I, not just because of myself, but I like the show in general. Like, I actually teared up in episode 3 when Ben and Amy were talking and he kissed her and he walked away and he waved goodbye. I was like, no, she's pregnant. And I was like, wait a second, I know what happened.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. First of all, there's so much sex talk, especially in the premiere, in the first one. Dangerous. I know. First of all, I'm trying to get these guys to watch it. They think I'm either a girl or too young to be watching it. But you know what? I got to tell you, Francia. I got to tell you, I went from 90210 to Dawson's Creek to the OC, and since the second season of the OC, when I went. Fell flat on his face. I've had nothing to watch. I needed the teen angst put back into my life, and I think this has done it.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad you went down that pattern, because you know what? I was going down the same way, too. I didn't know what to watch after Dawson's Creek myself. I didn't really get into the OC.
Yeah, you know what? You're better off. The OC, and this is what I'm worried about with you guys. I want to make sure of a few things. One, the OC was great gun for the first season, and then it fell flat on its face. I hope that you have that the people, the powers that be over there at the Secret Life, have a lot of good ideas.
Oh, Brenda Hanson is a genius. I give her like so many props and so much respect for her writing. I was looking at episode 11 today, which would be considered second season when it airs, and it is by far one of my favorite episodes. It just gets better and better and better. I think she's a genius.
Wow, that's high praise, a genius.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's very, very smart. The woman knows what she's doing. She don't play.
She doesn't, and what is she like? Because she wrote the first episode, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
It is so sexed up. I mean, what is it? The script with 15 and 14-year-olds, and all they talk about is sex.
I mean, actually, it's really very normal. I went through it in high school for 4 years, so I'm just basically back in high school. So it's very normal to me.
So this is accurate, because it's been a while since I've been in high school. I'm ashamed to say it, and you'd be surprised. I wasn't the coolest kid in school, so maybe I missed all this talk. But there was not this much sex talk.
Oh, yeah, it's very accurate. All I remember from high school is sex, sex, sex. Who was having sex with who? Who's actually having sex? Who's a virgin? Who's not a virgin? How many people they've had sex with? Who's having oral sex? That's all I remember about high school. And sadly enough, it's been a few years since I've been in high school. My sister's about to be a sophomore, and that's all they talk about still. I mean, she was a freshman recently, and kids were having oral sex in the back of the theater class.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I was like, are you kidding me? These are freshman girls.
So now that your parents watching this show, are they pulling your sister out of school?
No, they're not pulling my sister out of school, but, like, my dad had no idea how my character was, so he kind of looks at me every now and then. He's like,
Santiago, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? It's my character. I'm not doing anything. Like, he's never, ever seen me kiss anyone, nonetheless hold anyone's hand. So to him, this is like, what is my daughter doing? This isn't her. She's 12.
Well, speaking of kissing someone, and I want to bring this up because I believe you heard our interview with your co-star, Dad.
That I was going to talk to you tonight. What is that?
I don't know, but it's getting on my damn nerves.
Yeah, these noises are killing me. Someone's got to figure out what these noises are.
I don't know.
It's not your fault, Francia.
I hear from over there, so I'm sorry. I got to blame you guys.
Oh, no, it's definitely our fault. I'm going to have to start muting people to see if it's them. Here we
not
go.
Me.
I'm sure it's not you, but we have to test everybody. I will not put...
I'm not even holding a phone.
Doing?
I'm not even holding a phone.
I understand. Okay. Francia?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to play a clip from that Darren Kagasov. Now, this guy plays your boyfriend on the show. Although, you know what? It seems like you like him a lot more than he likes you.
Oh, really?
I'm talking about on the show, the characters, not...
Okay.
Although it may be the actors and actresses do. Listen, here's the clip, and we'll talk about it afterwards. What was it like to make out with her?
What was it like? It was
obviously it's on set.
Right.
So there are people around, but do you actually get into it? Does...
Well, for me, when you're doing a scene... You got to be fully invested and fully in it, or else it doesn't look real, and I don't feel like I'm doing my job. So it's definitely fun to make out with her, but from a professional perspective, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to, you know, convey certain things. And when I have to kiss her, hell yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, so he seems pretty into it. Now, this I know is his first TV job and really his first acting job. Did he know how to do an on-set kiss, or was he really going at it?
This man is about, 21 years old, so he's had his experience for women. So, yeah, I think he was pretty experienced in the kissing department.
I have little doubt that he's experienced in the kissing department. That's my point. I think that, does he know the difference between an on-set kiss and a real kiss? Is there a difference?
Obviously there's a huge difference because when you're kissing offset, you're kissing someone that you really care about. Like when I kiss my boyfriend, I really care about him and there's something there. But when we're kissing on set, like you got to think about it. There's hundreds of people watching you and there's a certain way you have to have your head sometimes so the camera can catch it. And really you're just trying to capture the moment. So it's a huge difference. It's like we're just doing it.
Huh?
It's
choreographed, isn't it?
Yeah, some of it is, actually. And there was one time where Darren was moving his head the wrong way, and my head was the other way, and it was just the most awkward kiss I've ever had in my life.
Now, I'm asking you this totally naively. I'm not trying to be a joker. But is there tongue involved?
No, there is no tongue involved. He's very respectful of my relationship, and I don't think it's necessary for our characters. I think we have enough kissing action as far as physically, like in episode 3 when I jumped on him, so we don't need to add the tongue.
Okay, but it is possible that someone... Now, certain times, does someone slip it in by mistake just because they're getting into the role?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen shows, like, especially Dawson's Creek, I've seen tongue in there, but it's probably just because either they were dating or they're really trying to get into it or they're really into the kissing thing, especially if they're single. But with me, no one's ever slipped the tongue. No one's ever made that all of a sudden mistake. So, it's never happened to me.
You're lucky I'm not on that show.
You are.
I bet I am. I heard the interview.
Very good.
Does Shane, your boyfriend, hit the set? After our interview with Darren, does he now want to watch?
Actually, I didn't have him here to interview because Darren warned me about it. But he has hung out with on the set a couple times. Actually, he went one time and saw the episode that was airing tonight, and he gets along with the cast very well. He knows Darren, is fine with him, but he doesn't like watching our scenes. He actually closes his eyes when it comes up to me and him kissing, but he gets along with everyone just fine.
Should he be nervous? Here's my question. When we met you the first time back in April, I would say you and Shane were probably equal on the fame meter.
Now you may be edging him out a little bit. Will you look for an upgrade and a more famous boyfriend?
No, I don't think so. I wasn't looking at his fame when I first met him, so that's the last thing on my mind. Plus, he just got nominated for an Emmy, so I think he beat me a little bit.
Oh, really? He got nominated for an Emmy?
Yes, he did.
Well, look at that. Maybe he's going to look for an upgrade.
Oh, thanks. Would you look for an upgrade?
We got some calls on the line that are looking to talk to you, Francia, but... As is the case with this entire program, my switchboard is freezing up on me. So they will not get to have these words with you, for which I will apologize for.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, too. Vinny, do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
Find me someone at Blog Talk Radio that I can get fired for their performance.
I'm on it.
Yeah, there have been way too many problems. Obviously, they know we have Francia Raissa on, and they should know that she is on the a program that was the highest-rated show ever on ABC Family. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
And to be treated with technical difficulties like this is an embarrassment for a top-rated blog talk radio show such as we are when we have a celebrity such as Francia. You're on that?
I'm trying.
All right, good. You tell me who we're firing, and we're going to get rid of them.
Okay.
Good luck on that one.
You got that, Reed. Right, Francia? Because, I mean, this is ridiculous.
The name I keep coming up with is Alan Reed.
I mean, it won't happen again next time I come on.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I'm like, yeah, fire them. No one is going to get fired.
It's not your fault. You know what? They need to run a tighter ship if they want me to get these A-list guests like Francia Raissa on here. I need smooth sailing. Now, Francia, I was reading through the message board on the ABC Family Network, the Secret Life message board, and there are tons, and who knows if they're truthful or they're just playing around, tons and tons of girls who are telling or sharing their stories of being pregnant.
Mm-hmm. I've read that.
Yeah, I mean, is this an epidemic? Are we just hearing more about, you know, we heard that story in Massachusetts with the pregnancy pact, and we've seen Juno, and we're watching this show. Is it just more of it in the media now, or is it an epidemic?
Oh, it's been an epidemic for God knows how long, ever since I can remember. I remember when I was, I think, 10 years old, I went to Mexico, and it was popular out in Mexico to be pregnant. Every 15-year-old girl that I saw out in Mexico was pregnant. And then now, my graduating class, there was a girl who got pregnant while I was in high school, and she had to leave. My freshman year, there was a senior who was pregnant. And then now I graduated a couple years ago, and there are at least 5 girls from my class who have had kids.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, and there is a girl, and she's very happy right now. I've known her since I was in diapers with her. She is, I think, 21. She just turned 21 right now, and she's about to have her second child.
So what do you think this is? Is it just a lack of sex? And first of all, do you think it's ridiculous that you're Francia Raissa, a actress, and all of a sudden you're supposed to be an expert on teen pregnancy?
You know what? I never thought about that, but I have been getting asked a lot about teen pregnancy. I was like, I don't know.
You know what? Come to think of it, I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking about how odd it is, Hollywood and TV. You're on a television show that has teen pregnancy, and here is a radio host, and I'm not the first, and I'm not the first journalist to be asking you to comment on teen pregnancy. I should be talking to a doctor. What do you know?
You know what, I don't mind commenting on it. I just don't want to say anything to offend anyone. My personal opinion, if you're pregnant when you're a teenager, I'm not for abortion, but I'm not against it. I think that when I don't even want to talk about it because then people are going to get mad at me. But basically, like, if you're having sex when you're young, protect yourself because it's not fair for the child, for the fetus, to go through the drama it goes through just because you are a young mother. So I personally think people should take care of themselves and really think about the consequences that could happen when you do have sex. Look at this Amy girl. She doesn't even want to realize she's pregnant. She's like, nope, didn't happen. 9 months later, what is she going to say, you know? And as far as teen pregnancy general, I feel bad commenting because I do have opinions. I just don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, and I don't want anyone upset with me because I'm not pregnant. I've never been pregnant. I'm not 20 and pregnant. So really, what do I know? I just feel like it's unfair for a child when they are conceived, and it's unfair for a girl because she shouldn't be 20 and having a kid, or 15 and having a kid. So either way, it's unfair, but I can't favor anyone. And it's sad because usually they favor the child, and people are usually like, you can't do abortion. I can't believe you got an abortion. But, you know, then again, it's like a young girl, and sometimes the case is they're raped. So, it's just so many situations that happen. Me personally, people might get mad at me, but when they are a bunch of cells, when you first find out and it's still a cell, it has no heartbeat and no brain, to me, I'm like, okay, if you've been raped, I think it's fine to go for abortion. But once it's a fetus, it's known as a fetus, and it has a heartbeat and a brain, that is wrong, and I am not for it.
Well, if you are an expert.
Who knows?
Hey,
I mean,
you
I have
got
an
opinion. Own opinion.
I just don't want to piss anyone off.
Oh, no. I mean, look at you.
And so what if you do? You know, it's your opinion.
It's mine, but then again, like, if I really think about it, I'm not pregnant, so I can't really say, hey, you know what, get an abortion, because it's probably not the easiest thing to do. Me personally, I don't think I can do it.
But you don't. But you're at least acknowledging that you're not in that position, so you don't know what you would do.
Yeah, exactly. So
I can tell you one thing.
Yeah.
Your dad's not going to be happy.
Why's that?
I mean, if you ended up pregnant.
Oh no, he wouldn't. I mean, God, he's not happy now that I have a boyfriend. God, I'm turning 20 on Saturday.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
There was this one fan, Lizzie, who decided she was going to try to call in. She was just waiting to see if the phones would open up.
Okay.
You might want to take a phone call.
All right. Tell me what number Lizzie's calling from, because we got to let Francia go.
Okay. I just letting you know you can make the call, Chief.
All right. Francia, I'm sorry about all the technical difficulties, but I do appreciate you coming on, and I do love the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me back on.
Hey, I hope you come back again. I don't want you to shy away from the Radio Happy Hour because of these horrible. Hey, Vinny, did we fire anyone yet?
No.
I'm working on it. I sent out an email.
All right, good. Thank you, Francia. Seriously, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Happy Holidays! This is Vinny Bond, and you're listening to the Best of Blogstein 08 Part 2. We'll be back live next week to bring you a whole new year of Blog Talk Radio's number one most listened to comedy show. For all new episodes of the Radio Happy Hour, listen live on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And if you happen to miss us, catch us on the archive at www.drblogstein.com. Remember, that's www.drblogstein.com. Now let's get back to the show.
An IRS investigation into the financial dealings of a high-priced international prostitution ring apparently also snagged New York Governor Eliot Spitzer, who allegedly was caught on tape booking a date last month with a hooker named Kristen for a romp in a Washington, D.C. hotel room. I'm sure you've all heard this already. Spitzer, believed to be the individual known as Client 9, named in an FBI complaint that led to the arrest last week of four people, two of which, Mark Brenner, 62 years old, and Cecil Sual, that's Cecil, a woman, 23 years old. Allegedly, the ringleaders live in the same apartment building as my parents. So joining me now is my father to give us some exclusive insight into this pair. Hello,
yep.
Daddy. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Blogstein. So nice to have a son for a doctor. You make me proud.
I strive to make you proud.
So,
what
do you want to know?
This guy, Mark Brenner, and this woman, Cecil Sewell, who are they? What are they like?
Well, I don't know them personally, but I've seen them in the elevator, and I've seen them in the parking garage.
Okay, and what are
and,
they
like? My impression was we couldn't decide if that was his girlfriend or his daughter.
So it was an old man.
And he's
man.
Like a little sleazy-looking, bad toupee, short, jeans. And they were very lovey-dovey, so we didn't really know. Now we know.
So he was the, I guess, the pimp, and she was the best hooker?
I don't think she's the hooker. I think that was Cecil.
She's a madam.
She was just a madam.
She was just a madam? No, maybe it's just his girlfriend and they're just running the show together.
So they're running the show out of what floor?
Out of the 12th floor.
And you're on 18.
I'm on 18. I always go past it.
So you've seen them in the elevator going up?
I've seen them in the elevator and I've seen them in the parking garage.
Did you ever talk to them?
No. I didn't think they'd give senior citizen discounts.
I was very happy that you didn't get yourself caught up in the investigation.
You know me well. I wouldn't pay that kind of money.
I'm glad because...
Here's your inheritance.
I know. That's going to be my money someday. I don't want it.
And you can spend it on hookers.
It's like
exactly.
It's like going to a very expensive restaurant, and the next day it ends up in the same place, you know?
Yes, that's true. No matter how much you could pay for a very fancy restaurant, or you can eat a Popeye's chicken, but you're flushing it down the toilet the next morning.
Exactly.
So you never spoke to them?
I never spoke to them, but I would see them.
And they
looked weird because they really didn't belong together because he was old and she was young.
So on Thursday, the FBI was swarming around, right?
Yes, I went down to the gym, and from the level of where the gym is to the lobby, they were swarming with FBI agents, you know, with their windbreakers. Couldn't imagine why they were there. I thought it was related to the bombing in Times Square.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting. That was an interesting way to put that together. And then when did you figure out that it had to do with the Governor Spitzer?
When I heard it on the news. The next day, I was reading the newspaper, and I saw that it was a prostitution ring. And I still didn't know who this guy was, and then... The news said that Governor Spitzer was involved, and a couple of people were describing what this couple looked like, and then I realized that I'd seen them.
Now, what do you think this will do to the value of your apartment?
Well, now it's a very expensive cat house that I live in. A hoe house.
Well, thank you for the very interesting insight. This is a part of the story that the news has not covered yet. We have not heard this insight. It's an exclusive.
An exclusive from your dad.
Yes, and thank you for putting American Idol on hold to talk to us.
From Papa Blogstein.
From Papa Doc. How's that?
I like that.
Papa Doc.
Thank you. Well,
thank you for having me on your show, and good luck with it. We're very proud. And,
okay,
and so is the prostitution ring. Okay.
All right, well,
thank you.
By the way, if they come back to the building and maybe they make bail, see if you can get them to call into the show.
Okay, sure.
All right.
How about Spitzer?
Yeah, if you can get Spitzer to call in, fine. Tell whoever does it, tell him I'll give him a Dr. Blockstein T-shirt. All right.
Oh, great! What an incentive. All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
That's my dad, everybody.
And he has been for some proper talks.
Dr. Blockstein.
Dr.
Blockstein.
Last week, you know, on our program, we had Thomas M. Dish, a sci-fi writer who claimed to be God. It was a very bizarre interview. I'll play a clip of it in a moment. But what happened, we interviewed him last Tuesday. On Friday, he shot himself. He committed suicide, which is very bizarre for all of us. Turned out to be the last interview with Thomas M. Dish, sci-fi writer. Of course, Vinnie Bond is here. Dangerous Lee is here. But we're joined by, right off the bat, famed psychotherapist, Dr. Robbie Ludwig. You see her all over the place on Nancy Grace. You see her on Larry King Live. She's the contributing editor of Cookie Magazine. Dr. Robbie Ludwig, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
I sent you the interview with
Thomas
M. Dish, and you had a chance to listen to it. I'm going to play a clip for everybody just to remind people. And I'll tell you, the interview wasn't great. It was a very bizarre interview. So I'm going to play a little clip. If you want to hear the whole thing, listen to last week's show.
but it was a bizarre interview. Here's a clip, and then we'll talk to Dr. Robbie Ludwig. Tell me, how does this work? Have you always been God, or did you realize at one point that you are God?
Both, and the same is true for you, too.
I'm God?
Alrighty, then.
That's a traditional understanding of pantheism. There are many gods.
Hell? What? WTF?
Dangerous. Dangerous. Give this guy a chance. I'm sorry, God. We're not used to intellectuals here. You have to excuse Dangerous Lee.
Right. Don't excuse me.
That's all right. She can still go to school.
Okay, so teach us. Teach us, God.
You'd have to say about what?
Oh, about what? Oh, you want me? Oh, okay. So here's God.
Yeah, well, do you need to know about the birds and the bees and such? Do you want to know about literature? There's lots of things you could be taught.
All right, so if that didn't make sense to you, that's okay. It really didn't make sense to us at the time. Dr. Robbie Ludwig, did we miss signs that this is a man who was in peril and about to kill himself?
You know, that is a lot of pressure to put on anyone. You know, it's very hard to tell if someone is suicidal when you don't know their history. Usually what indicates whether somebody is suicidal or very much depressed or profoundly depressed is if their behavior is significantly different than it usually is. So I had never heard of this author prior to you mentioning him to me and actually listening to the radio interview. But what struck me is he didn't necessarily sound depressed per se, which would be very hard to get from a radio interview because you don't have the visual stimulus. You can't see how the person looks, where they're talking from. But he did sound delusional, you know, in the way that he talked, so that when he said, I'm God and you're God, and he started talking kind of in this grandiose way, it sounded like a delusion that was a reaction formation. That's what we call it in our business, which is a way to defend against feeling like he was actually the opposite of God, completely nothing, having absolutely no control at all. Now, that could certainly be an indication that somebody is profoundly depressed.
But there was no way we could have known what was about to happen.
There's no way. I mean, unless he said something like, I'm going to kill myself right now, or I plan to kill myself in the next couple of days, then if you're a trained mental health professional, you could pursue that with how often do you think about suicide? Do you have a plan in place? Have you given away any of your personal items? And then you begin to explore the fantasy a little bit. A trained mental health professional would say, either can you commit to safety and promise me you won't hurt yourself and get yourself to an emergency room, or they would then call the police and have the police pick up a person who was a potential danger to themselves or others. But other than that, it's like really reading tea leaves, especially with somebody that you don't know.
Yeah, we don't know him. I, like you, was not aware of this author until we were offered this interview, and I thought it would be an interesting discussion since here's a man who proclaims himself to be God. I didn't know how disturbed he was. Now, the interview, none of it really made sense to me. I described it, and I believe I described it after the interview as if he was on a different plane than us. I described it as, you know, I felt like I was speaking English and he was speaking English, yet we weren't understanding each other.
Right. Now, I did a little research on him because the therapist in me would want to find out a little bit more about who this man is. And it was interesting because in reading about his life, he was in a very dark place, obviously, prior to his death. And perhaps he had a depressive psychosis of sorts that was a reaction to losing his partner of many years. So here you have this gay, Catholic author who wanted to be a poet, who I guess was very true to his art, and you know, anybody who's in,
you know, the art business knows that may not work for you financially. It might work for you
right.
passionately, but not necessarily financially. So here's a man, he lost his partner. He was living in a rent-controlled apartment, which he was in the process of being thrown out of because the rent-controlled apartment was in his lover's name. And so he lived in a very kind of sparse environment. He evidently had a country home that was filled with mold and mildew. He had taken care of an ill partner for a long time, so we don't know what his financial stressors were. It sounds like he just was in this hopeless place combined with, we don't know if he had a history of depression, but, you know, I would want to know if he had some type of complicated grief reaction.
Now, I don't want to sound egotistical in any way, but do you think we, and by we, I mean Vinny and Dangerous Lee, because they were awfully harsh on the poor man. You think they could have pushed him over the edge?
You know, I want to say no, but probably when somebody is depressed, you don't know how they filter things through their mind. I mean, it sounds like being in danger of losing the only place where you live and just losing your partner and having this kind of delusional reaction formation, he's God, as opposed to what he really felt like, which is probably like a nothing, had more to do with his suiciding than anything else. I mean, maybe he wanted to be with his partner. Maybe he, it said that he was very curious about the afterlife. I wonder if this book was written while he was taking care of his partner, who he knew was about to die. If I were to venture and take a guess, I would say that probably had more to do with it. But probably life just seemed really hard. And I remember in one piece of the interview, he was talking about meeting with a man while traveling who claimed to be God. And his analysis of that person wasn't it sad that he needed to be recognized?
I'll tell you a story about when I was in London, and I went, this was about 1975, and I had been to St. Paul's Cathedral as the Christopher Wren masterpiece, as a tourist, but I'd never been to a service there, so I thought it would be interesting to go to a Sunday service, and I did. And I was sitting about in the middle of the nave when this wild fellow comes running down the central aisle screaming about how he was God. And he got as far as the communion rail, and then a couple of tough ushers got hold of him and strong-armed him all the way back to the other end of the aisle and outside the cathedral. And after the service, he was still out there on the steps looking very woebegone. And I sat down beside him and said, "Tell me, you say you're God, just the way you're calling me up, right?" And he was so grateful for a bit of attention, and he told me about the troubles he had getting believed, and then he showed me this forlorn bit of a sheet of mimeograph paper that was his open letter to the whole world about how he was Jesus, etc. And
okay.
I did something wicked. I said, "Could I have a copy of this, please?" And he said, "It's my only copy." And I still begged him for it. And the conflict that was there between wanting the attention and holding on to that scrap of paper. It was so sad. Finally, he gave it to me. And I kept it. I can't think. Until my place in the country was ruined. I had a house up by Bearville. And
God, are you telling us that you stole God's identity? Is that where the story is going?
Well, sort of. It made me aware of the preciousness of that particular kind of declaration. If somebody is going to say they're God,
yes,
you have to wonder what possessed them. And with
normally, God, with all due respect to God, I would first suspect mental illness.
Well, yes, but and if you'd seen him rush down the aisle of St. Paul's, you'd think so. But if you sat beside him on the steps afterwards, you could see that he was just an ordinary fellow who'd somehow thought this was going to be his moment of glory, and then it wasn't. And that's life. Everybody goes through that feeling of letdown after their big fireworks display.
Well, I remember, you know, thinking at that point of the interview, oh my goodness, you know, this man wants to be recognized in a way that he's not being recognized. So
yeah,
probably
that part. I'm sorry, Dr.
No,
Logan,
no,
that
go
part.
Ahead.
Yeah, that part struck me in listening back to the interview. Another part that also struck me was, if you remember, when the interview was over, he seemed legitimately upset that the time was up, and what he said was, in retrospect, was kind of prophetic and creepy in a way.
Is that all there is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his reactions, too, weren't they a little delayed and bizarre?
I thought so, yeah. His answers were delayed. There was a long pause before he spoke, and also his laughter at certain points was also delayed.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really did sound to me that in addition to depression, there was a delusion, kind of perhaps this false idea operating, not only is he God, but, you know, maybe if he kills himself, then he'll get to be in this wonderful afterlife, or then he'll get recognized, or, you know, we don't know what was going on in his head, but what we know was going on in life was he wasn't getting a lot of recognition. He lost probably the most significant person in his life. He was being threatened of being kicked out of his apartment, which was sparse at best, so perhaps he could have even been literally homeless for all we know. It's just very sad. It's very sad when really people kind of give in to that impulse and really believe that the hopelessness is true. It's just unfortunate.
Now, before I let you go, because I know I've taken up a lot of your time already, the reports are is that he shot himself, which is mind-boggling, and does the way somebody kills themselves give you insight into how they were feeling?
Well, it certainly gives us insight into their intention. So it's not atypical for men to use shotguns to kill themselves. It means they seriously want to die. It used to be that women would not choose that option. They would choose overdose, which is a much more, if you will, passive kind of, maybe I'll survive this, more like a gesture. But when somebody takes a gun to their head, they want to die. And it's a very kind of violent way to end one's life.
So it was five steps up from a cry for help.
It was. We don't even know if a cry for help was made. I mean, for all we know, the book could have been a cry for help if it was read by the right person. But that's the frustrating thing about suicide. You can't really put that on yourself because the bottom line is, it's sometimes very hard to tell. And even when a person has made the decision that they are going to kill themselves, and it's very interesting because sometimes this happens when the weather is nice. And it's interesting. It's probably for him there was some poetic license going out with a bang when you think about 4th of July. It's the American birthday, and he decides to kill himself on that day. He certainly, it seems like he was a man who was hoping to get noticed and didn't. I mean, even the day that he killed himself, I think, is significant.
Right. Well, Dr. Robbie Ludwig, thank you so much for analyzing the final interview ever done with this sci-fi writer and poet. So the bottom line is, we're off the hook. We couldn't have known. We couldn't have saved him.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't our fault.
It was not your fault. Clearly this man had a pre-existing condition. You're not trained mental health professionals, and he didn't give any indication in a very clear way that he had any plan of harming himself. If he did, then of course the situation would be different, but you're also not trained mental health professionals to know what to do. However, just of note, if anyone ever does say, I want to harm myself, then it would be up to you to contact the police so that they could do the right thing. But with this situation, it was just unfortunate, and there was no way to know.
Yeah.
It must have been shocking and traumatizing for you guys, too, because it's disturbing to think of somebody doing that to themselves, especially so closely after having interacted with them.
Somebody posted in the chat room that we're taking advantage of the situation. I don't think that's what we're doing. We're trying to get a better understanding of it. Doc's been getting a lot of, you know, negative feedback because of how the interview went, and because, you know, I think a lot of times people want to look for somebody to blame
exactly.
and look for a reason. And what we're doing, we're not making fun of the situation. We're taking it serious.
I'm sure to some extent you guys are a little traumatized that this happened so closely after the interview.
Yeah,
and
somebody dying, somebody killing themselves, not funny at all. So it's not a laughing matter. And, you know, the fact that it happened a couple of days after he was on the show, it's like, wow, you know, you don't know how to react. You want to definitely get an understanding. And then, you know, like I said, Doc's been getting some flack for it. So it's like, you know, if he didn't say anything about it today, I think that would make him less of a person, you know.
Right. No, I mean, I people are always going to have commentary about whatever is done, and I think you're exactly right. People have a need to blame, and listen, it would be ideal if everybody always treated everyone in a wonderful way, and that doesn't always happen in life, and here's a good
mm-hmm.
opportunity to kind of understand it and put everything in perspective.
Pope Benedict, I really appreciate you joining us here today on the Radio Happy Hour during your first visit here to the United States. I'd like to begin by discussing the troubling sex abuse scandal that has plagued the Catholic Church over the past, I guess you could say, decade.
Basta con le violenze.
I understand, but are you, Pope Benedict, involved in any way? Is there anything you want to get off your chest?
Basta con le violenze. Basta con l'odio in Iran.
Who's there?
I'm sorry?
I asked who's there. Can't you see I'm in the middle of an interview here? I mean, it's the Pope, for Christ's sake. Excuse me, Pontus.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Wait, I don't understand.
Why don't you have a seat right over there on the other side, please?
Basta con l'odio in Iraq.
You show up with beer, you show up with condoms, after a sexually charged online conversation.
Pope, is this true?
Basta con le violenze.
This is the Pope you're talking to, Mr. Hansen.
So what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? I'd love to suck play and suck play with
like
and lick nipples and lick and
Yo, dude, Pope, you're on your own. I'm out of here.
Con le stracci.
See ya.
Basta con le violenze.
Sorry, bud. Later.
Basta con l'odio in Iraq.
Hey, it's Justin the Weatherman, and ho, 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 happy holidays. It is frickin' snowing. It's cold out in Connecticut. Why did I move out of New York City? Ugh, I can't believe it. It's freezing. But anyway, thank you so much, people, for listening to this Best of Blog Scene 08. And if you've missed any part of this show, you know that they are available. They are all available in their entirety at theblogtalk.com. And that's www.drblogstein.com. That's www.drblogstein.com. And if you don't know how to spell Dr. Blogstein by now, then you can't be a listener. But I'm sure you love it. I'm sure you've heard it. And we'll be back, you know, live next week. We need a break. I need to go to a sanitarium. And we'll bring you a whole new year of Blog Talk Radio's number one most listened to comedy show. That's because Dr. Blogstein is doing it all. He lets me come on for 5 minutes, and then he lets me blow out. But I think he fired me, and I'm not sure if I'm coming back, but we'll check in 2009 to see if it's going to come true. And for all new episodes of the Radio Happy Hour, listen live on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And if you miss us live, you can catch us at the archives there on the website. And I've said the website twice. I'll say it one more time. www.drblogstein.com. Okay? So I love you, people. Have a happy new year. And God bless you. Oh, be well. Bye.